Lord. I don't know how you all felt about last week, or but I felt like it was wonderful, and I thought there was a tremendous word that came forth, and I believe it was a life-changing word if you'll really hear it and really receive what was said last week. And title to my scripture today, or to my little speech here today, or whatever you want to call it, my sermon, is change, And, God's in the process of constantly changing us and changing even the way that we think about things. And, I think a lot of times we don't realize that the change that he's made has already been made, but it's just that we haven't come into the total realization of it yet. And, I like the way that Phillips says in the Gospel of John, in the Epistle of John, it says basically, "Beloved, now are you the sons of God." It says, "But if reality were to break forth, you would be just like him." And, if you think you're not just like him, then guess what? You're not living in reality. I mean, that's, because, a lot of times whatever you consider to be real in your life is real to you, whether it's real to anybody else or not. I mean, there's people who have hallucinations and they see things, and you can't convince them that those things aren't there because they've convinced themselves that they are. And, I feel like we're going to have to begin to change our type of thinking and really let the mind of Christ dwell in us. It's there already. He's given it to us already. But a lot of times we don't function out of it because we don't believe we have it. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to get into the word here. I'm going to read you a few things here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. Lord, I come just open-handed and basically only wanting to share that which you'd have me share. And I'm going to share what you gave me this morning, and I believe that that will hit the mark. And I just thank you, and I give you all praise, I give you all glory, and I give you all honor for everything that you do here in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read you this little thing here, and it's funny because I was thinking about, about speaking about change, and then I ran across this, and I'm going to read it to you. And it says, one of my favorite Peanuts comic strips features Charlie Brown saying to Snoopy, "I hear you're writing a book on theology." And you could see Charlie Brown telling Snoopy that. "I hear you're writing a book on theology. I hope you have a good title." Snoopy responds, "I have the perfect title. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong?" And you know what? I got news for you. That needs to go out into the church world out there. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong? Snoopy responds, "I had the perfect title. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong?" Snoopy's title reminds us that our understanding of God and what he requires of us is sometimes twisted. Wow. I mean, this is that brother's sermon last week, because our wrong beliefs have led us to a wrong behavior. We need to repent and turn to God and do the works and befitting repentance. And this is kind of neat because it even says here the Greek word translated repent is metanoeo, which means to change your mind. Brother gave us that definition last week, didn't he? Remember that? And as Paul indicated, repentance does not mean just nodding in polite agreement with God and continuing the same way we were going. When we turn our thoughts towards God, then we truly agree with Him about what is right. Our behavior will follow. Like a car, we go in the direction we are pointed. So when we truly turn our minds and hearts towards God, our actions change accordingly. Instead of going happily along, assuming that our choices are right, we need to regularly stop and ask ourselves Snoopy's question. As Paul taught, it's only when we are willing to admit being wrong that we can be certain of being right with God. Wow. You know, one of the hardest things in the world to deal with is a person who thinks they're right all the time. I've known some, and I'll tell you what, it is a tough thing. And we all have that tendency at times about certain things. Or, man, I'm right, you know. And I bet there's been more divorces over that than probably any other thing, you know, where where we can't admit that maybe we're wrong about things. You know, and I'm going to read you a scripture out of, this is out of the, and this will go along, all the things I'm going to say to you this morning are going to be the very things, if you'd been in Sunday school, you'd have heard almost everything said that I'm going to say to you. This is out of Romans, the 12th chapter, and it's 12:1 through 21. I'm going to read you the whole chapter, and this is out of the Message Bible, and it's really good. So it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. And if you begin to embrace what God has already done for you, wow, you're going to move up into a lot higher realms. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's good. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. I like that. And you know what? It'll drag you down to immaturity. God brings the best out of you that develops full-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, especially as I have responsibilities in relations to you. Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing His goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. Wow, that's a tremendous word. I mean, my goodness. Woo. The only accurate way to understand yourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are or what we do for Him. Wow. In this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole and not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our own meaning and function as a part of His body. But as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let us just go ahead and be what we are made to be. And you know what He made you to be? Just like His Son. And without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't, if you preach, just preach God's message and nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. You ever find yourself trying to take over when you're helping? Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouragement and guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. I love this. I mean, this is so plain. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Wow. And I tell you what, sometimes when you're working with the disadvantaged, you can get kind of perturbed. Why do you have to be like that? Well, you know, they can't help it sometimes, you know. And I tell you, we just need to keep that smile on our face and keep loving them and showing them the love of God. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on to dear life for good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. You like to play second fiddle? Or do you have to be first fiddle? Wow. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians to be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Boy, he's got it down. He knows what goes on, don't he?
That's got a lot of nerve.
I love this. I mean, this tells right where we're at, folks. Laugh with your happy friends when you're happy. Share tears when they are down. Go along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Wow. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not what you're to do. I'll do the judging, says God, and I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if we see your enemy hungry, go buy him some lunch, that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Praise the Lord. I think that's tremendous. I love that word, I tell you. you know, I felt like the Lord was drawing me to that today. And I got another thing I want to read you here. And this is called One More Time. And this guy's name was Rafael Sanero. And he was physically exhausted and defeated. He sat on the border in a dry riverbed and announced to his crew, "I'm through. There's no use going on any longer. See this pebble? It makes 9,099 I've picked up without finding one diamond. One more pebble makes a million. But what's the use? I quit." This took place in 1942. This exploration crew had spent months prospecting for diamonds in Venezuela riverbed and watercourse. Their efforts were focused on finding signs of a valuable diamond field. Mentally, physically, and emotionally, they were exhausted. Their clothes were in tatters. Their spirits were ready to quit. "Pick up just one more and make it an even million," one crew member said. Solano nodded and went back into the riverbed and pulled up a stone about the size of a hen's egg. It was different than the others, and the crew soon discovered it was a diamond. It was later sold to Harry Winston of New York, diamond dealer. The millionth pebble was named the Liberator, and to date it is supposedly the largest, purest diamond ever found. So I will say to you, keep on keeping on in God. I don't care how tired you get. I don't care how wore out you get. I don't care how many rocks you seem like you pull up. Keep on keeping on, because there's a diamond there somewhere for you. There's a pearl of great price there, and that pearl of great price is Him. And I tell you what, sometimes you got to dig deep and you got to go through a lot of hassle before that thing really comes to the surface, but it's going to come to the surface. God has declared it, and His word is He never fails in His word. His word always comes true. And you know, when He said that you're more than conquerors and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, don't think that you're not going to get weak, because you are. Don't think that you aren't going to get tired, because you are. Don't think that you aren't going to get disgusted at times, because you are. But keep on keeping on, because I tell you what, eventually His purposes and His fulfillment will come forth in your life. And sometimes it's awful hard at times. I mean, you know, people will say bad things about you. I was thinking about that, Lynn. If you go on the internet and look him up, you'll find false prophet, false this, false that, you know. And you know what? The church out there is going to say all kind of things about you. If you go on with the Lord and you begin to have a change of mind and you be renewed by the changing of your mind, and that's what it takes, you know. If you start to have your life changed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, like it says in Romans the 12th chapter, we just read it out of the message, but in the King James it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. It's a process. It takes a while sometimes. First you got to prove the good, then you got to prove the acceptable, and then you'll come into eventually the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God, I know one time years ago my mother told me, she said, one time I was praying and I said, oh God, show me your perfect will for my life. And she said, He did. And she said, and it just about destroyed me. she said, because He showed me like up, just dispersing His word. And just, you know, like she said, it was like I was standing up speaking. And she said, I was thinking, I got four little kids, I can't do that. And you know, my mother's name was Irene, which meant messenger of peace. And I used to see her all the time, always encouraging other people, you know, and always letting them pour on her and dump on her all their problems. And her telling them, oh, honey, it'll be okay. You know, I'll remember you in prayer and all that kind of stuff. And usually having a very, very positive attitude. And I'll tell you what, she had some family members at times that gave her a rough, rough time. And yet, I believe that she stood firm right to the end. And I don't say she didn't get discouraged once in a while, because I'm sure she did. And I don't say that she didn't have a tough row to hoe at times, because I know she did, because she was left with four little kids. And she raised the four of us by herself. And, you know, back in a day when, you know, women weren't making good money, no matter what they did. And women today feel like sometimes they're not making fair wages. Well, buddy, back then they didn't make fair wages. There just wasn't no two ways about it. And she worked in a factory, you know, and we didn't have a car. And I can remember her walking. We lived halfway up Sycamore Hill in Mount Auburn. And she'd walk all the way to the bottom of the hill, catch a bus, ride it all the way around, transfer to another bus, ride another bus to Northside, you know. Well, you know, and she worked over there for years. And I can remember Mother almost never missing a day's work and going to work sick and everything else. And that's part of where I think Wally and myself got our work ethic, where we don't miss a lot of work or anything, and because of seeing her do that, you know. And, you know, she'd go in this blizzard, she'd go with snow and anything else. And I can remember as a little kid, and that might be one reason why she lived to be 89 years old, but I can remember as a little kid trying to stay up with her when she walked, and she'd walk your legs off, and she was short, little woman. I mean, she'd walk so fast, you'd almost be having to run to stay up with her, you know. But I tell you what, I saw firsthand her perseverance, and I saw her hang in there, and I saw her give things to the Lord. And I just want to tell you, I don't care where you're at and what's going on with you, hang in there, because it's going to get better. Because when you come into that full recollection and that full knowledge of who and what you are in Christ, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And creation is going to be set free. Creation is groaning and travailing, waiting to see the sons of God come forth. And, you know, it isn't that you aren't a son of God now. And if you read that same scripture of Romans, the 8th chapter, in the Phillips, it says in there that creation as yet cannot see reality. That's the way it puts it. Not because it chooses to be blind, but because God has so limited it. And he's put a limit on them, but he's taken the limit off of you. He's taken the limit off of you. You can see reality. And if you'll begin to see who and what you are in Christ, you can do like Jim was saying, take every opportunity to begin to share him. Begin to tell people what he's already done. Begin to tell them that they're forgiven already. Begin to tell them that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses, and tell him, in the name of the Lord, you're free. In the name of the Lord, you're set free. You don't have those trespasses anymore. Wow. I love that example that the brother had last week when he brought the men up in the front and had one be the sin and one be the lamb and one be the high priest. And he had the person that was sin lay the hands on the lamb's head. And then the lamb was presented to the priest, the high priest. And the high priest looked at him and looked him over, never looking at the sinner, only looking at the lamb. And I thought that was excellent. That was excellent. That's the first time I've ever really totally heard somebody say it like that. Looking at the lamb and seeing that it was spotless and it was perfect. And then, you know, that being the sacrifice. And that was Jesus. That was Jesus. He was the lamb without spot or blemish. And you know what? Scripture says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had that purpose from the foundation of the world. And he came and fulfilled it. And because of that, we can walk in newness of life. We can walk in freedom. We don't have to walk in condemnation. We don't have to walk in any of those things that your natural mind would try to tell you. Bless God, you can't really be a Christian. You got mad and you said a cuss word yesterday. Well, that's under the blood of Jesus. And I asked the Lord to forgive me, and he did. And you know what? I went on and did what I'm supposed to do. Or, you know, I got mad at my wife, and I hollered at her, and she hollered at me, and we had a big fuss or something, or whatever happened. You know, the things that we go through. And then a lot of times she said, I can't go to church tomorrow. We had a big fuss yesterday. Well, you know what? You can. You don't have to let that stuff affect you. Praise God. Okay. I think I'm going to do something a little bit different here in closing today. I think if anybody's got anything they'd like to say concerning the message from last week, I think I'm going to come down there with a microphone and let you put it on the tape, okay? Because I know I heard a couple people say, if I could just apply what I heard last week, it would change my life. And it would change the way I looked at things. And you know, that's what we really need to do. We need to apply it. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say? If you do, I'll come down there. Kathy? Jim said, Jim's he's doing that ice thing, Kathy, where they're dumping ice over the head. He just dumped it on you. Yeah, you have something you want to say? Okay, hang on just a second. Praise the Lord. I got the red mic, Curtis.
I'm old. You have to remind me what I said, and that was only 2 hours ago, maybe one. I thought that was a terrific 3-day. If you haven't listened to it, oh, get the tape, because it was good. It has listening to Brother Hiles has changed the way that I read the New Testament when he was talking about the end of the age and the end of the times, and seeing it with the understanding that he was talking about it was the end of the Old Testament, the law, and it's just changed and opened up the way that I see the New Testament now. And I did a lot of reading last night because I've got a lot going on in my life right now. And let me tell you, if you don't, you have to stay in the Word. And it really did change my understanding of what Jesus has done for us. And in Sunday school, I remember saying, he gave this, he showed how in the Old Testament, a person with sin on their soul brought a spotless lamb to be sacrificed for the forgiveness of his sins. And it just changed the way that I see how God looks at us. Because he brought the lamb, and the priest looked at the lamb. And he checked out the lamb, and he checked him out thoroughly. And he said, yes, this lamb is acceptable. This lamb is perfect. Never once did the priest look at the person who brought the lamb with the sin on him and said, well, let's check you out. He didn't even count the sin of the person bringing the lamb. He only looked at the lamb. Oh, you want to know that an awful lot of wrong thinking left my body that night. The spotless lamb was Jesus Christ, and he died for my sins, and God never once looks at my sin. Jesus said, don't think that I came to do away with the law. I've come to fulfill the law. Amen. He has fulfilled all the law of the prophets. Wow. I mean, it has really been eye-opening for me. I know I'm going to listen to it more. And I think that anybody who hasn't heard all three of those nights, wow, it'll change your thinking.
Amen. Amen. Praise
and
the
changing
Lord.
Your thinking is that being renewed.
That's right.
In your mind.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
And just to follow up with your thought, Kathy, after he did that demonstration between the sinner, the lamb, and the priest, you got to think that after the sinner offered the lamb, his sins, the sinner's sins under the law, was forgiven totally for 12 months. And that was just for a lamb, a symbolic lamb. How much more are our sins forgiven by the blood of the Son of God,
Amen.
Jesus Christ?
Amen.
They are completely, by one sacrifice, Romans, Hebrews says, forgiven once and for all.
That's good.
Period. If the Lord forgot about those guys under the law for 1 year, their sins, for that year, how much more are your sins forgiven?
Amen.
Forever.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Did you have something?
Okay. I like to say that I noticed that the lamb didn't have much to do with anything other than being obedient. That's important, for the lamb is Jesus Christ. And he's known for his obedience. So we know that the word says obedience is better than sacrifice. Now what I'm thinking is, as Jim and Oscar was talking, the lamb was to be sacrificed. It didn't say, well, lamb, do you want to be sacrificed? He gave it over to the lamb. The lamb went to the high priest and was sacrificed. The same thing Jesus did. We remember, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. He volunteered. Right. He volunteered to be sacrificed. What a great lamb he is.
Amen. Amen.
I was just thinking of something that you had said, how the process is, and he was saying how everything has already been taken care of through Christ, but we need to get that in our heads. Self first. I'm not talking about anybody, but it's just we need to get that in our soul, mm-hmm. so that our soul will become really in line with the Christ that's in us, with the Spirit of Christ that's living in us. Then we become prevailing. That means victorious. We can walk a victorious, conquering life over every situation in our life. All the things that we think that plague us from day to day to day will become naught. It just won't exist anymore. And to me, that was when he was talking about the heavens, mm-hmm. and how some people think heaven is one place. And then the Lord brought to me, this is what the Lord said, was that heaven is just an atmosphere that we can live in right here on earth. And that atmosphere, though, comes through the changing of Christ is doing within us. Because Christ is there. The Spirit of Christ is living inside of us. And it's trying to engage himself with our souls. And as he takes, the soul is just our emotions, our will, our own conscience, our own self-conscious. But Christ wants to take that and become married to that soul within us and become one in him. So that no longer will the soul be pressing against what he's trying to do in us. Amen. So he will become one with Christ. We will think like him, act like him, and love like him. Because first of all, even in the first Corinthians, in the chapter 13, he said the greatest of every gift that he has given on earth is love. And that's the love of Christ. It's not our love. It's the love that Christ has within us that we can pour out to the world. And I believe that's what's going to change the world. Amen. Is the love of Christ.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, see, that's like in Sunday school we were talking in there, and, you know, the scripture was quoted, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives within me, you know. And, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. And see, in the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And see, we have to come to where we truly believe that. And when we truly believe it, then we will begin to function out of that more and more and more, you know, rather than going in and out of that consciousness. And that's where the Lord's trying to get us, folks. And I thought that was terrific.
I can't remember what night it was or the exact thing that he said, but I experienced a thrill of hope, mm-hmm. because he was talking about Revelation and about how many, you know, men of God, mm-hmm. just men in general, have tried to identify the Antichrist, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how, you know, they were all wrong. Well, or they were all right. But that Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And with all this talk about, you know, the perfect Lamb of God, mm-hmm. and that we're not under the law, we're under grace. Mm-hmm. You have to listen. Just listen to the tape, because it, you know, everyone's talking doom and gloom. And he said, I don't think it's going to turn out the way that they're expecting it to. And I just, whatever it was he said, I had a thrill of hope, because if you look around, it doesn't look good. And if you listen to all the naysayers and the doom and gloomers, you will get down. So I want you to experience that thrill of hope that I got.
Amen. Amen.
We win.
I love what he said when he said, you know, that he's heard about all the antichrists and all this and that. And he says, and it wasn't Osama, and it wasn't Obama, and it wasn't Chelsea's mama. And he said, and I thought, well, you know, the way people go. And since I've been a Christian, it's been everybody. It's been Henry Kissinger. It's been this guy. It's been that guy. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, you know, they realize that the Antichrist is something inside of you that doesn't believe in Christ. That's against Christ. You know, it's not some future leader coming upon the earth and all that. It's that negative thinking that's right inside of each one of us. You know, that's as much Antichrist as anything else, you know. Because even John said in his day, he said, they're already among us. They went out from us, you know. So, you know. All of these fairy tales that everybody's putting out there, they're fairy tales. I got news for you, a lot of it. Okay, anybody else? Yeah. Oh, okay. Parker.
Jim, the answer to your question is 7 times 70.
Anybody else? Okay.
When we were talking about all this, the Lord just dropped that word scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
When the one goat was sacrificed, or was it a lamb or a goat?
It was a goat, I think.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there was one goat sacrificed and one goat was released, free. Uh-huh. And, of course, scapegoat, from what I think it means, is that someone took the hit for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what a mighty God we serve.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
And then also I started DVRing, speaking of Brother Hiles, I started DVRing his program.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, we have DirecTV, if you mm-hmm. have DirecTV, you can DVR it on the church channel.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay, Will.
This is nothing to do with that, okay. But I got a letter in my hands from Imogene,
uh-huh.
and she asked that it be shared.
Okay.
She said, during my recent devotions, I was thanking the Lord for the blessings that you, my Wing family, has given me during the 40 plus years that I worshiped with you. As I prayed, I felt impressed to write and share the story of how the Lord led me to be one of you. Since I couldn't be present to deliver the testimony in person, I asked someone to do it for me, and maybe, just maybe, you all might add your own testimonies to this. My first visit to Wings was in 1968, approximately 3 months after accepting the Lord into my life at a local Baptist church. Being raised in a Pentecostal church, I found the Baptist services were a little too tame for me, and I began my search for a church that I wanted to commit to and to raise my boys in. At the time, I was living on Hassler Lane in Elmwood in the midst of all of Thurl Dean's properties, and my mind suddenly went to a young lady that I had met during my teen years while babysitting for a family who lived in Carthage. This young woman also babysat for the same family from time to time. During one of my babysitting weekends, this young lady came a-calling. She shared many things with me, who she was, where she lived, where she went to high school, how her and her boyfriend got along. But the thing that impressed me most was that the praise that she had for the church and the pastor and his wife. She told me how she and the young women of the church would go to the home of the pastor unannounced and hang out. I couldn't imagine doing that in the church that I was raised in. We children were scared of our pastor. She also described all the fun things that the young people did as a group. So during my consideration about where I might find a church home, I decided her church was one that I wanted to check out. My first visit to Wings was on a Sunday morning. I attended a Sunday school class led by the father of Red Dickerson. During that class, Brother Dickerson said two words that made my stomach flip. The words were first fruits. I knew those words must be important, and when the class was over, I asked him what the words meant. I can't remember exactly what he told me, but whatever they were, I knew I had found my church home, and a church home it was. The spiritual growth that took place in my life under the leadership of precious Brother Eddie and Audrey has been so sweet to me that it brings tears to me even as I write this.
The spiritual road that they provided with their leadership, love, and patience cannot be measured. So as I end, I'm guessing you want to know who this young lady was. It was our precious sister, Pat Bullock, who graciously agreed to read this testimony for me, but she finked out. May the Lord be with you and bless you abundantly as you need, as you seek his ways in your life. Your sister in the Lord, Imogene.
Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, anybody else? If nobody else, then I guess we'll close. If you all stand, we'll close in word of prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I thank you for even the testimony, and I thank you for all of the witness to your word, and even the changes that it's made in the paradigm shift in people's thought processes. Because, Father, it's all about being changed. You know, we used to sing that song, we're being changed, changed, changed from glory to glory. We're being rearranged by the blood of the Lamb, translated, transfigured in the image of Jesus. We're running the race, beholding his face before us. We're being changed. I think that's the way the words went. But anyway, we are being changed. And he's already done the changes, but we have to experience those changes. And it's sometimes it's line upon line and precept upon precept, but thank God that he's changing us each and every day, and we're being changed into that very image of his Son. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people, and I ask you to just help us each and every day, Lord, to be obedient to what your Spirit would speak to us and just move and flow with you, that the mind of Christ might operate in your body. And we'll be careful to give you all praise and all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you or talk with you. God bless you.